Side Hustle Show 293, Local Podcasts, how to become the voice of your community and get paid. What's up? Nick Loper here. Welcome to the Side Hustle Show, because where you can build community, you can build currency. Now, someone who's done a good job at that is my friend Bill Nowicki, and he's done it through a unique side hustle. Bill hosts a local podcast called Marietta Stories. Marietta, Georgia is a suburb of Atlanta with a population of about 60,000. And the funny thing is, Bill, who's actually a former Navy submariner and he's still a nuclear engineer by day, he kind of had different side hustle aspirations at first. He wanted to make videos for local businesses, but was having a hard time landing clients. That's when he came up with the idea to create the local podcast for Marietta. You know, first as a way to generate videography, leads and conversations in a non-threatening, non-salesy way. Like, hey, I think you have a cool story. Can I interview you for my podcast? Like, who's going to say no to that? But then later as a profit center on its own. So stick around in this episode to hear the innovative ways in which Bill has grown his audience, how he monetizes the show, and how you might be able to replicate his model with a local podcast for your own hometown. It's a low overhead side hustle that I think could be a lot of fun and potentially a lucrative way to make a name for yourself in the community. Notes and links for this one are at sidehustlenation.com/Bill. And while you're there, you'll be able to download the free PDF highlight reel summary with all of Bill's top tips from the call. As a listener of the show, you know that learning is the key to earning, but as side hustlers, we're always looking for a more efficient way. Enter our sponsor, Blinkist. The Blinkist app transforms the key insights of 2,000 plus best-selling nonfiction books into powerful packs you can read or listen to in just 15 minutes. And right now, Side Hustle Show listeners can join the 5 million Blinkist members for free. Go to Blinkist.com/sidehustle to start your free trial today. That's Blinkist, B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T, Blinkist.com/sidehustle to start your free trial today or get 3 months off your yearly plan. This edition of the Side Hustle Show is also brought to you by DesignCrowd. DesignCrowd.com is the place for entrepreneurs and side hustlers to outsource or really crowdsource custom logos, web designs, or even podcast cover art designs from designers all around the world. It's the service I used for the cover design of my book, Buy Buttons. And right now, DesignCrowd has over 600,000 designers ready to help you with awesome creative ideas and really to compete for your business. Check out designcrowd.com/hustle to learn more and get up to $100 off your next design project. That's designcrowd.com/hustle, or use promo code hustle at checkout for that special Side Hustle Show offer. I'll be back with my top takeaways from this chat with Bill after the interview. We kick this thing off with the story of Anne Patrick, a woman Bill met at church and who ultimately became his first guest on Marietta Stories. Ready? Let's do it.
She, I think at the time, was like 78 years old. She's just a real, she's probably 4'11". I mean, she's really small, but man, is she a powerful personality. So, and she talked about how at the church, they have a small school. It's called Wonderful Days. And they ran a fundraiser race every year. And she was the head of the race. You know, she was talking about that, and I was like, man, this is a really cool story. But if you look at all the material that Wonderful Days puts out, you really don't see that story. So it's a logo, you know, some drawings from kids, but there's not really something that connected this Anne Patrick and her powerful why story to that race and how it got started. So I thought, man, this would be a great interview. And I kind of put it in the back of my head. But she became episode one of Marietta Stories. The tagline on my show is building community one interview at a time. So I really, like I said, wanted to build relationships, but I also wanted to kind of connect people's why to all the cool things that were going on in the community. So I've been able to do that.
Have you lived there your whole life? Are you Marietta born and raised?
I moved to Marietta 6 years ago from Huntersville, North Carolina. I was there for 12 years, but no, I've only been here about 6 years.
Okay. But you're the guy. I mean, you're the Marietta Stories guys. You're like deeply embedded in the community now.
Right. And that's the coolest thing. And I think for your Side Hustle listeners, it would be interesting to think about it this way. Since this media, digital media, has been democratized, why not step up and take a position in your community and say, oh, I have the local podcast. I mean, I got a logo. I started talking to people, and I got interviews with a lot of people in town that I would have never gotten a time of day, except that I have this podcast. So I said, hey, I'd like to interview you for my podcast. And it was a whole way to open the door locally.
You were able to get interviews that you probably shouldn't have been able to get, but by virtue of being kind of the only guy in town doing this, it was a novel thing.
Right. And people know and have heard about podcasts, and you'd be amazed. You put the earphones on, and I have a portable setup. So I just go to wherever people are with microphone in my hand and the recorder in my hand and just start interviewing them. And it puts you at a position where you can pretty much ask any question that comes to your mind, and you have you establish credibility before you even start the interview.
Yeah. So you're not like saying, okay, well, let's go home. We'll set up a time to get you on Skype, like a traditional podcast interview. You're doing it like in person, mic in their face, you know, out in the community, which is, I think, a cool way to go.
Yeah. And it's the other thing I recognize is there's some people like Ann Patrick I mentioned earlier. She hadn't been in front of media or anything like that. So I just went to her home. So you're automatically comfortable. I'm the one who's uncomfortable. You're the one that's comfortable. So that's really what you want for your guests, especially the ones that haven't been on a show or whatever. And the more they're doing their own thing, like if they're a chef or whatever, I like to have them doing chef stuff. So they're in that mode of just a conversation with somebody versus an interview.
Is there a specific type of guest that you're after that you're trying to find for the show?
Yeah, I always look for people that have a good social media presence. That's a really good way to get downloads. So there's a place called Tiny Bubbles Tea Bar. It's on the Marietta Square. And the young lady that runs it is very good at social media. So she has a large following of people. And I did the interview. She posted it and did some tagging. And I think in one day I had 600 downloads. I was like, holy mackerel.
Wow.
And, yeah. And the other one that was really surprising to me is the superintendent of schools. And he's kind of almost like a rock star in town because he's good looking. He was a cheerleader in college, and now, you know, he's kind of a cheerleader for the school system. But people are really into the schools and what's going on. And he was new, so he was able to kind of have a really in-depth interview and talk about his vision and where things are headed. So I think I have almost 2,600 downloads for his episode.
Okay. Yeah. So it's not out of a population of 60,000. That's pretty good. Like, it's not something that, you know, if you're across the country, you're necessarily going to be interested in. So it's like, it's a smaller pool to swim in from the get-go, but that's been enough to build a business for you? Like, tell me about that side of things.
Yeah.
I know you mentioned the video production side, the videography. This is an interesting angle. Like, hey, I want to provide this, you know, I have this local service business that's also a side hustle, and here's one way to market it in kind of a roundabout way.
Right. So working full time and then trying to get clients for the video business and doing the podcast, which is weekly. One thing I'll tell your listeners is I set it up in seasons. The seasons gives you the benefit of saying, okay, season one's coming to a close because I'm kind of getting burnt out.
Yeah, this is the new thing for podcasts for sure.
Right. And it's nice now because in iTunes, you can say what season it is, one episode. So anyway, having set it up that way, and then I think within 3 weeks, I had a message on Facebook because I'm posting, oh, here's a new episode, and I put it on the Marietta City Facebook group, and I got, you know, a lot of traction that way. And I had a real estate agent reach out to me and say, hey, I would love to sponsor your show. I have a background in radio. This is a brilliant idea. And I was hoping to get a sponsor anyway. But so I reached out to a guy I already had on the show that's a real estate agent. I said, I'd rather go with you guys because, you know, I already have a relationship with you and I love what you're doing also. Because, and that's the other thing is, if you're looking for clients, isn't it great to be able to talk to them before you go into the business relationship with them? And then you find out what's driving their business and their whys and all that. So you can find out if there's somebody you want as a sponsor. So
that was just from the local community Facebook page?
Yep. And he reached out to me, and then I reached out to, and I said, hey, I would love to use you guys instead of this guy I don't really know. And they're like, yeah, how much do you think? And I was like, how about this? And like, sure, send me a contract. And the next day I had a contract and I set up the spots and put mid-roll in there. And he's been a sponsor for 2 years now.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Do you mind sharing how much a local show like that could command in terms of sponsors?
Yeah, so I did a little calculation. So my downloads aren't super great, but they're pretty good. And I came up with initially $70 an episode. Now I've upped that rate to $100 an episode, and I'm still doing most of my own editing. I'm pretty quick at it. So that's pretty much covers my costs, and I'm making a little bit. And now I just signed a couple more sponsors, pre-roll and then mid-roll. So that's all gravy for me. So I don't want to have too many sponsors, but you know, the pre-roll is going to be about 30 seconds, so it's not too bad. And then another mid-roll spot. So it's still not, compared to a lot of established podcasts, not too bad. And I'm, you know, pretty much making money from the get-go.
How long do the episodes normally run?
I always tell people it's whatever it takes, but typically it's 30 to 40 minutes. Some folks are harder than others. For instance, I just interviewed the former governor of Georgia, and I pretty much stopped him after like 55 minutes. I said, you know, governor, I know we're running late, you know, and he's, no, I'm having a good time, you know, but he was just, you know, he's an old Southern gentleman, kind of great storyteller, but they run typically 30 to 35 minutes.
Okay. So you're doing the production yourself. Do you have an estimate for your equipment costs, like all in? Because I know you get the mobile setup.
Yeah, it's around about $800 to $1,000. I have like a shotgun mic and then a digital recorder. Right now, I just upgraded to an H6, which I really like, because if you ever have like a round table thing and you have to have separate mics, you can have six mics on it. And then a good set of headphones and a sound isolation device. And I don't have a pop filter on this particular
mic. Sound isolation device? That sounds fancy.
Yeah. Well, it's, I forget what they call it, but it's a shock mount where it's the rubber. So I didn't realize this, but it picks up every like move of your hand on the mic when you're moving it back and forth, which is really tough. So, because I'm switching between me talking to the interviewee.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You have to have that or it sounds weird.
I was kind of curious on, you know, what that, I imagine you probably had some of that equipment from your previous podcast, but there's a little bit of startup costs on this, but yeah. I'm thinking just of like, you know, my, you know, adopted hometown of Livermore is similarly sized. You said 60,000 population. Mm-hmm. I think Livermore is around 90, and it has a really strong kind of community vibe. I think, I don't know if anybody's doing a local podcast. It's like, you know, that seems like a really interesting way to go. So you mentioned the Facebook group as a way to kind of get the word out. You mentioned, you know, targeting people to interview with big social media followings. Anything else on the marketing front that's been working for you?
Yeah, I've interviewed like local theater troupes or, you know, theaters themselves. And I'll say, hey, I'll do this interview for free if you give me some time before your next show comes out. And I can just go in front of the audience and say, you know, everybody's got a story. You know, I have a podcast, local podcast called Marietta Stories, and I do like a 1 to 2 minute thing. And sometimes I'll put like little excerpts from the show. If, you know, somebody's in the booth, they can play it and all that kind of stuff. It's the Johnny Appleseed, because podcasts, a lot of people, I've heard of them, but a lot of them don't even know how to download, and you know, especially people my age and older. So all that kind of work pays off. And even the people that aren't well known, their whole families listen to the podcast, and then a few of them all subscribe. And so over time, you're really building that reputation and brand, and it really starts going on its own after a while. But in the beginning, it takes a little bit of work.
Okay, so you're interviewing these, you know, local acts that are coming to town or coming through town, and say, in exchange for, you know, a couple minute, basically a live pre-roll of your own in front of the audience to say, hey, I've got this show, and here's how you can tune in. Everybody's got a story. Here's the Marietta Stories podcast.
Right, and the other thing I think is really good that we have a really good farmers market. So I just went out one day with my mic. I told the guy that runs it, and he's like, yeah, no problem. So I'll just go to the booths and start talking to people. And handing out cards, but any kind of thing like that really helps the show because you get people not only that live in the community, but are coming through. There are interesting stories whether or not you live in Marietta.
Yeah, I'm thinking the same thing. We got the same farmer's market on Thursday nights. You know, hang out there, pass the mic around, pass some cards around. Okay. Anything else that's been effective marketing-wise?
Yeah, so I'm using traditional media. I reached out to the Marietta Daily Journal here and said, hey, I have this story, and send the lifestyle lady a email. And the next day she said, yeah, when can we talk? And we recorded it and she put a story together. They came in and took pictures at the Marietta Square Fountain with a bunch of the folks that were on the show previously. I invited them. So I'm spreading a lot of goodwill and doing things for people. And what I'm getting now is, like, I'll just say to people that have been on the show, hey, if you know anybody that will want to be a sponsor, I'm looking for some new sponsors. And 90% of the time they say, well, I want to be a sponsor. How much is it?
And yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's really not been hard to get new sponsors, which is great, because if you get them on a schedule and get it systematized, it's pretty easy money. I mean, doing a spot, and like most of them I've already interviewed, so it doesn't take me much time at all.
How do you typically sell those? Do you sell them on a per episode basis, or like, hey, you're going to be the sponsor for season two or whatever?
I just did one for a leather goods shop, goforthgoods.com, little plug, promo code Marietta Stories. But he gives 25% off, but it's all handmade leather stuff. I went to his shop. I took some audio of him using his sewing machine and his leather pounding stuff and rivets, and then put the spot together. And I said, hey, it's a minimum 3 episodes because one and done doesn't really work well. Minimum 3 episodes, and the cost per episode is X. And typically they'll say, yeah, sure. Because if you look at it compared to a lot of these businesses, especially local, there's a lot of money in local advertising, but most of it goes to flyers and, you know, radio spot or maybe a billboard. Well, that's not a really good investment, because if I'm talking about like this leather goods shop, just seeing a advertisement's not going to tell you what's really going on and how he backs up his products and how he is passionate about Marietta and creating a manufacturing environment here. So for me to give him that benefit, I think he's all in.
What level of production are you doing on these episodes? Are you going full NPR style narrative, you know, cutting in music in and out and doing all this stuff? Or is it just like, hey, roll the tape from the interview?
No, it's more like fresh air, where I just start interviewing the person. And I did, like with Ann Patrick's episode, I did do the narrative podcast thing, but it takes way too much time and it was like not worth it. So I just do a narrative style, and it really keeps me on my toes, because you really have to think about, you have to break it up like you know to do. You can't just have somebody droning on too long. You have to switch it up every 20, 30 seconds. So that's what I try to do. And what's cool about it, like I just interviewed a pet psychic. So I took my dog, Lucy. I was like, come on, let's go. And I said, well, I'm trying something different for this show. And you could hear the dog panting in the background. So we're going to go to Rhonda Weisberg's house, and she's going to do a reading on my dog, Lucy. Lucy, you ready to go? But you know, that kind of thing. So I put the upfront production value in it, and not so much on the back end where I'm spending a lot of time cutting and whatever.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, such a cool audio storytelling medium that you get to play around with. And I think you're a natural storyteller, and you have we've hung out at several podcast movement events. And when I was passing through Atlanta, you get people talking, you make people feel comfortable. And I think that it comes through in the show.
Right. And that's talked about it in the beginning, is that was the missing link I had, is I knew a lady that does video production. So I met with her. And I said, hey, let me interview you for my podcast. So I showed her my, you know, here's my pitch to a business to get them to do a video. And she looked at me and she goes, why don't you just ask them questions like you do for a podcast? And I was like, what do you mean? She goes, just have them talk about themselves. And that's what'll sell them. You don't have to say anything. And I was like, duh. Totally made sense when she said it. And then So that's what I've kind of done, is establish relationships, build them up. You know, you're giving first, and then you say, kind of say, hey, I don't know if you'd be interested, but here's something I offer. And, you know, it's okay if you don't want it, but I'm getting much more comfortable. So I talked about not having a business background, but I'm getting much more comfortable to say, hey, if this works for you, it'd be great. If not, that's okay too. And a lot of people are really jumping at the chance because there's so much money, local advertising. They're spending a lot of money and not getting a big return. So this is a real positive way to get.
So for you, Bill, is the videography the business behind the business? Is that the main goal, to get more of those video production gigs?
Well, what I'm finding is I love doing interviews, just audio, because people are more relaxed when you put a video camera in front of them and they start talking about their business. It has a whole different feel. So I'm kind of moving away from the video business and more concentrating. Is there a way to do higher cost events for podcasts? So the thought might be somebody's having an event, say it's a fundraiser or Chalktoberfest we have, where artists come and, you know, draw on the asphalt. If you're a sponsor to that event and you meet the, you know, gold level and above, then Bill Nowicki will interview you for Marietta Stories podcast. He has 47,000 downloads and all this exposure. So it makes it, it's a win-win. I'm getting paid.
Okay, so you're partnering with the event coordinator.
Correct. And I'm getting paid to show up and do these interviews, and they're getting potential to get higher level sponsors.
Anything else on the monetization side? That's a creative way to go for sure.
Yeah. To me, this is for somebody that works full-time. This is a great way to establish yourself in the community, and somebody that works full-time and look for a side hustle. It's great because, like for me, I'll do 3 or 4 episode recordings in maybe a day or two. And then I have 3 or 4 weeks of material to be able to put out a weekly show. And it's really easy to adapt to whatever your schedule is. You just have to do a little bit of upfront planning and then do a little bit of editing, and then it's easy to keep up with. And I think it's a great model for somebody. After a little bit of time, you can establish yourself in the community, talk to some great people, start building relationship to people that, you know, movers and shakers in the community, and tap into some of that local advertising money.
What's next for this thing? Are you going to run for mayor soon, or what's going on?
Well, that's what somebody, it's funny, somebody asked me that, and the answer is absolutely not. But what I was thinking of doing is set up a local podcast network. So I've done a lot of the Growing Pains things. So I've bought a URL, localpodcastnetwork.co, and I'm looking, I'm going to present at Podcast Movement in July next month in Philly, and then say, hey, if anybody's interested, I'd love to kind of consult with you, and then find out from them, you know, what works for their community, because it might be different than mine, but kind of learn from that, and then create a local podcast community so we can all leverage one another's network and tribe.
Sure. Plug that URL again.
It's localpodcastnetwork.co.
Okay. Looks kind of like a placeholder page.
But I'm meeting with the guy.
Give it a month, then we'll have something up there.
Yeah, okay. I'm meeting with the guy who's putting the website together tomorrow.
All right. It's coming soon. Localpodcastnetwork.co. Very cool. I'm excited.
Yeah.
I don't know that I have the bandwidth to do another podcast, but man, it's like, I think this would do really well in my town.
Yeah. And the other part I'll tell you, and you've probably found this from your podcast, but you have one Notion starting up, but podcasts can evolve and move, and it's been so much fun for me. It's almost like the journey has been so much fun that I've met such great people, and some people get me bawling, you know, they're so inspirational to me, and it totally invigorates me. And I know that there's cool stuff going on in our community, and it kind of goes counter to, you know, some of the stuff you see on Facebook now and negativity, which is
right
to me. That's the way you build community, is get the stories out. So I'm really excited to be able to be in a position to do that.
Well, I'm excited for you. I think it's really cool what you've built and what you'll continue to build. MariettaStories.com. Check out the podcast. Check out localpodcastnetwork.co if you're thinking this could be a cool side hustle for you. And Bill, appreciate you joining me. Let's wrap this thing up with your number one tip for Side Hustle Nation.
The number one tip is start as quickly as possible. Get the first episode out there. Get people listening to it. Even if it's not the best in the world, get feedback and go to the next one. But don't wait, because most people wait and they never get there.
Yeah, if you're waiting for it to be perfect, it's never going to happen. This show definitely wouldn't exist. So
that's exactly
I can attest
right.
to that. Start as quickly as possible, because a year from now, you're going to wish you started today. Bill, appreciate you joining me, man. Thanks so much.
Yeah, man. It was good connecting with you again.
You bet. We'll catch up soon. If you're anything like me, the list of books you want to read is never ending and always expanding. It's kind of like a game of Amazon and library whack-a-mole. You simply don't have time to read them all, but our sponsor Blinkist is here to help. Blinkist is the only app that takes thousands of the best-selling nonfiction books and distills them down to their most impactful elements, so you can read or listen to them in under 15 minutes. All on your phone. That means you can be having breakfast with Gary Vee, walking the dog with Seth Godin, working out with Tim Ferriss, or maybe sharing your commute with Grant Cardone, Chris Guillebeau, or Tony Robbins. And it's actually Mr. Cardone's 10x rule that's next up in my Blinkist queue. Side Hustle Show listeners can start a free trial of Blinkist today. Just go to Blinkist.com/sidehustle to claim that deal. Or if you're ready to jump straight in, you can get 3 months free on your yearly plan. That's Blinkist, spelled BLINKIST. Blinkist.com/sidehustle to start your free trial or get 3 months off your yearly plan. Once again, check it out at Blinkist.com/sidehustle. All right, my top three takeaways from this call with Bill. Number one is there a business behind the business? In most cases, the podcast probably isn't going to be the main revenue driver, but it can be a powerful content marketing engine and can be a great way to connect with people. In Bill's case, he's got the videography stuff, and I can see this type of show doing well for local real estate agents or other local service providers. It's no accident that a real estate company was his first sponsor, right? Now, don't get me wrong. I love doing this podcast, but it took me a long time before it could reasonably be considered a business all on its own. It's the same thing with blogging or other social media. Think of it as a conversation starter or a lead generator for the business behind the business. And if it turns out to generate revenue directly through sponsors, fantastic. So that's takeaway number one. Is there a business behind the business? Number two is, this is the ground floor. There aren't a lot of people doing local podcasts right now, but local radio has been around for decades. So you know there's a demand for this kind of information. We naturally want to hear about what's going on in our communities. And I think it's a cool way to share those stories and to put yourself at the center of it. Bill gave the example of interviewing the superintendent of schools, which is super relevant to every parent in town. And it's the type of content that you're not going to really find anywhere else. That's takeaway number two. It's kind of the ground floor, I think, of local podcasting, local, call it the next generation of local radio. Takeaway number three is, this is instant credibility. I can picture Bill walking around the farmer's market with his mic and his headphones as the host of Marietta Stories, and it's instant credibility. Anything he wants to do in town, he's essentially got media access to, and he's becoming a known personality amongst the city leadership, which I think is a really powerful place to be. And it's all a result of, you know, asking people questions. It's all a result of the podcast. What do you think? Do you think something like this would go over well in your hometown? Let me know in the comments for this episode at sidehustlenation.com/Bill. While you're there, you'll find links to all the resources mentioned, and you'll be able to download the free PDF highlight reel summary from this episode. That's it for me. Thank you so much for tuning in. Until next time, let's go out there and make something happen. And I'll catch you in the next edition of The Side Hustle Show, where you'll meet the guy whose e-commerce store did $300,000 in its first year without any inventory. I'll see you then. Hustle on.
Thanks for listening to The Side Hustle Show at www.sidehustlenation.com.